The military drawdown seems to be hitting bottom. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine is trying to make a dent in the military spouse unemployment rate, and the Defense Department Inspector General gets a pat on the back. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni joins me with a rundown of new DOD personnel developments in his reporter's notebook this week. And Scott, let's start with that drawdown that you're reporting is hitting bottom. What's going on there?
Right. Well, if you remember back in the Obama administration, the threat landscape looked a lot different than it did. This was pre-ISIS, pre-Russia, China, really. I mean, you know, those were just kind of blips on the map at that point. And they said, well, the military might not be as big as it might be too big at this point. So it's time to draw it down. They thought about drawing down the army to about 450,000 troops active duty. That's something that the Trump administration and later Obama administration decided to reverse, and with a Republican Congress definitely did that. So now we're seeing that in soldiers and also airmen being involuntarily separated from the military is slowly trickling off. And so in the past half of 2017, we only saw 15 Army soldiers being involuntarily separated and zero airmen involuntarily separated from the military. Now, that's a pretty big contrast. In June 2016, the Army cut 121 soldiers. In the last half of 2015, they released nearly 500 soldiers. And, you know, the Air Force in 2015 and 2016 let go of 1,100 airmen. So we're seeing trends starting to reverse now.
And they're also actively trying to keep people in with incentives and changes in duty requirements, correct?
That's right. I mean, they're going completely the opposite way. I mean, both the Army and the Air Force are getting authorizations to bump up their in strength farther. So the Air Force now is pushing 321,000 active duty. And that's something that's way different. And they're, you know, adding bonuses in, especially for pilots, for cyber warriors, things like that.
And of course, we don't know what the president's budget will call for in 2019. That's due in the next week or so, but that could also presage some increase or stabilization of the workforce.
Right. Well, there's been rumblings of a $716 billion budget. There's been no actual concrete evidence of that yet, but it seems to be a rumble. That's something that would make Mac Thornberry and John McCain, the leaders of the House and Senate Armed Services Committee, very happy, because they've been pushing for a $700 billion budget for a long time now.
Well, let's see if there's any budget for anybody. That's the big question mark, I guess. And this idea of military spouse unemployment, I think even Michelle Obama was talking about that early on. So now Senator Kaine from Virginia is looking at that issue. What's he looking at?
That's right. Well, Senator Kaine realized that the military spouse unemployment is extremely high. I'm talking, you know, 40% in some cases. And a lot of the reasons behind this have to do with the amount of moving that military spouses have to do. Military spouses are kind of taken along on this ride that their significant others in the military have to do. And, you know, because of licensing, things like that, you know, if you're a lawyer in Maryland and you move to California, well, you have to get a whole new bar exam done to get licensed again. So what this bill does that Tim Kaine is actually putting out today, it modifies the federal hiring authority so that federal agencies can expedite the hiring of military spouses. That helps, especially if you're on that permanent change of station routine of about 2 years or so. You know, that really helps out with things like that. It's also looking into how DOD can help increase child care. That's something that more than 60% of female service members say is really painful for them. And it's also acknowledging that career stability is a vital role for spouses, really. It also requires transition assistance programs that they make room for military spouses when possible, and not just for the active duty military people.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio Scott Massioni. I guess a lot of spouses have licensed professions and occupations, barber, cosmetician. They could be a CPA, they could be a teacher, but there's a problem with state licensings in that one state doesn't recognize a license obtained in another state. Would anything in Senator Kaine's bill change that or impose some sort of a mandate?
So not at this point, but this is something that other senators are looking at, and also the bigger just broader Senate itself is looking at, because I think they've already realized this is a problem. And they have worked together and created some sort of coalition between some states already in the past. So I think that they're trying to do that not only for spouses, but also for military people themselves, because once they get out of the military, it's one of those things where they basically had the license when they were in the military. You know, you were a truck driver in the military, but now you have to get out and get a truck driver license all over again. Seems kind of silly to do. So, you know, they're trying to take that experience and put it in for active duty military. And then once they get out and transition, just makes the transition a little easier.
Yeah, in fact, I've seen ads, I think, at the Capital One Center and some of the other venues around D.C. sponsored by veterans in pipe fitting. I guess that's unions also try to embrace the people that have these skills, these trade skills coming from the military, that they can find work in the private sector.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine someone from maybe the Army Corps of Engineers getting out and having to learn, you know, go through a pipe fitting course that they have already done tons and tons of work on already.
And some of them are professional engineers, and that can transfer from place to place, too.
That's right.
All right. And you're also reporting about the Inspector General of the Defense Department. Is getting some love from the Partnership for Public Service.
They are. So the DODIG in the past has not had the best workforce satisfaction, the best workforce respect for who they are. In 2017, they saw a humongous bump in satisfaction in their annual survey. They saw a 12% increase in satisfaction with the agency as a whole. That went up to 61% from 49%. They also saw big gains in opinions of their senior leaders for maintaining high standards of honesty and integrity, something you definitely want in your IG. So 62% are favorable on their leaders. So this is something that the DODIG is really touting, and I think they're really proud of. And I actually spoke with the IG a couple months ago. He told me that they're not taking this to rest on their laurels. They're not high-fiving each other. They're pushing forward to get even more better. But this DODIG was the most improved agency of the year.
And we should point out that the Inspector General Office at DOD is probably has enough people to make it rank in the small agencies all by itself.
Yeah, it's pretty large, and they do go all over the world, not just all over the United States. I mean, you have to think they have to go to Singapore and to Iraq and things like that to check up on DOD. So it's not a small operation at all, and it takes a lot of work. And they told me that they're trying to listen to their employees about parking and about, you know, some of the bigger issues that come to all of our minds.
All right. Federal News Radio, Scott Massioni, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Check out his notebook now online at federalnewsradio.com.